You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Phil. I don't know what, I'm back. I think I had to refresh. Yo, yo, yo. Are we on?
We are.
Oh, that's so good. that's the thing that happens when you're doing a remote broadcast. So let me just start all over again. Phil Williams here, live in the special Right Side studio in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Yes, that's right, covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So I guess lesson learned there, as Butters is running the board, I'm sitting over here doing my board. I need to refresh my board next time when it sits idle for a while. Butters, how you doing, man?
Ask me after we don't have any more technical issues. It's great to have you calling in from Tuscaloosa.
Well, I'm proud to be here, and yeah, it's too much fun taking the entire, I call it studio in a box, and bringing it down here and setting it up. But yeah, folks, disclosing our location would be contrary to national security. Here we are broadcasting from a top secret location, but it is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I can see the stadium from here, so that's kind of give you an idea. Anyway, I got a great show laid on for you, and I tell you, it's going to be interesting because everything's going to be in flux right now. Just so you know, we've got any number of things that you're going to want to be listening in for, not the least of which is the fact that coming up at 2:20, like right after the monologue, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in for a few minutes, talking about the fact that he just literally made a huge decision yesterday to go ahead and release his hold on military promotions, most of them, not all of them, but most of them. Going to get his commentary on that just for a few minutes before we hit the bottom of the hour break, after which our friend Becky Gerritsen, executive director from the Eagle Forum, will also be on with us to kind of dialogue about that for a little bit. I absolutely expect there will be some drop-ins. We may very well have, I've got several folks like chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, is likely to stop in. Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, who may or may not be able to stop in. But we'll just take those as they come, because that's the way it works. And it's just good doings. All right, brother. Listen, we all good on your end there, Butters?
Yeah, man. We're
all right, brother. We got a little bit of a delay, but just want to make sure that before I jump into my monologue, I'll just tell you guys. It is an honor to do this, and is it easy? No, and technology is what it is, so we're going to work with today's show, but I fully expect, since we've done this before, that it'll work out just fine. In the meantime, let me just tell you before I do my monologue here that, as always, the Daily Monologue brought to you by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers pretty much our whole huge swath of our listening area, which is a big listening area. But Southern Immediate Care, with locations like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. Listen, they're open 7 days a week. They're owned by a right side ruffian. Let me just tell you that. If you need medical attention 7 days a week, Southern Immediate Care, which, by the way, no kidding, this is who I use personally. Southern Immediate Care, and they are the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. All right, so let me jump in here and just say this. So the other day, I saw a picture on social media, and it was one of those thousands of pictures that comes up in your feed every day, right? But it stuck with me. And it was just a picture of a guy, a normal-looking guy holding up a sign. So in a minute, I'll tell you what that sign said. But for now, I just got to tell you that it got me to thinking in a big way. And somewhere in those meditations and ruminations, I remembered a movie. Okay, so here we go. You ready? 1982. The movie that was the ultimate date movie at the time was An Officer and a Gentleman. It had plenty of romance for date night aspects, but it also had plenty of fights and military jargon just to make the guys happy enough. But it was really good. Starred Richard Gere, Deborah Winger, Louis Gossett Jr. Gossett actually received an Academy Award for his role back when that meant something special. So in the movie, Richard Gere played a guy named Zach Mayo. And Mayo had grown up in an abusive home. He had to learn to fight on the streets. He was a rough-as-a-cob kind of character who decided one day that the way out of his plight was to join the Navy. And specifically, he wanted to be an aviator. Well, he had an abusive father who had mocked him growing up, told him he'd never make it. But he was accepted to the officer candidate school, and when he was there, he met a Marine drill instructor, the one played by Louis Gossett Jr. So Gossett's character had the streetwise Mayo pegged right away, looked for every opportunity to kick him out, but Mayo kept kind of persevering. But Mayo was riding a razor's edge, with street smarts keeping him on the edge of honor violations. And the bottom line is the drill instructor finally caught him. And so began a weekend of unmerciful hazing, the kind of hazing that drill sergeants can't do anymore because it might hurt somebody's feelings. And then came the fateful moment, though, with Mayo on his back doing flutter kicks, soaking wet from sweat and being hosed down by a fire hose when the drill instructor told him there was nothing he could do. He was recommending him to be dismissed from the course. I mean, what happened next, though, is the reason I'm telling you all this. In one of the best acting moments I've ever seen, Mayo dropped his facade and yelled, "Don't you do it!" And the drill sergeant yelled back at him, "Give me one good reason." To which Mayo answered with some epic emotion. He said, "Because I got nowhere else to go. I got nowhere else to go." It was the turning point in the entire storyline. Mayo realized and accepted and rebelled all at the same time because he had no other options. He had literally, at least as far as he knew, nowhere else to go. No other options. Mayo had sunk everything into changing his life, and this was the ticket. He was committed. And the drill sergeant suddenly realized that he wasn't just a gatekeeper to the profession of arms. In that particular moment, the drill sergeant realized he was the gatekeeper to the rest of somebody else's life. Nowhere else to go? I mean, what do? If that's the case, you double down, you go all in. That's what you do. Now, I won't tell you the rest of the movie. It's really worth watching if you're looking for a good weekend, couch potato kind of movie. But I told you, it was something else I saw first that reminded me of that scene, right? A guy on social media, just a dude, holding up a handmade sign. And what the sign said was, and here it is, quote, "This is the USA. There is no one coming to our rescue if things go sideways. No one will be resupplying us. No one will airdrop food, ammunition, or medicine. There is no place to escape for freedom. This is it." I'm telling you, when I saw that, it really caught my attention. I mean, think about it. There are nations that would come to our aid to an extent, but there is no one who has the resources that we do. I mean, how many of us believe that it would be in our best interest if things went bad in the U.S. to go ahead and cross the border to Mexico for refuge? Canada, to our north. Well, that's a socialist government by and large. I don't feel like going there. Besides, this is home. This is home. So in a day and age when we've already experienced the disaster of 9/11 right here in our own soil, and we see Iran fueling proxy wars while also running pell-mell towards their own nuclear weapons capability and shouting all the while, "Death to America," we should be building up strength and readiness, but instead, we're trapped in the throes of an administration whose prime focus with the military is to institute social justice experimentation and fight so-called climate change. Meanwhile, military recruiting is in a 50-year slump with the ranks being decimated by an ill-advised COVID vaccine mandate, woke policies, feckless leadership. But that's just part of it. How about our economic infrastructure? We currently have the most impeded supply chain in anyone's memory, coupled with crippling inflation rates, the highest we've had in over four decades. If Wall Street saw a major cyber attack right now, what would the recovery time be? And for those who are already living paycheck to paycheck, well, what then? I see the President of the United States himself and his progressive allies calling for ridiculous things like the packing of the Supreme Court, combined with Biden also saying that no constitutional amendments are absolute. This is a not unpredictable, not so veiled threat against the liberties that have made this nation the envy of the world. But here's the bottom line. This is the United States of America. This is the country that put a man on the moon, that fought and won two world wars with resources and strength and assets unparalleled in the history of the world. If the U.S. goes down, it would mean that freedom around the world went down. There is literally nowhere else to go. And that's why I am so ardent and passionate about the fact that we must build and strategize and build some more. We must have leaders in positions of leadership and not just feckless electors who won a popularity contest in some state or federal election. We must always and at all times examine the laws being proposed through the lens of freedom using the measuring stick of the Constitution. We must hold true to values and principles that have made us great, not because we are scared to change, but because some things, like liberty, are just not worth changing. That's why I'm here today at the GOP debate in Tuscaloosa, because I want to see and hear and experience the folks who may well be in charge of revitalizing what I believe that Biden has been tearing down. That's why I get out of bed in the morning. That's why I remind myself and those of you listening that it's okay to say that Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and that I believe that life is actually worth living. And by God, I will not sit idly by and just say nothing when forces both internal or external seek to put out the lights in the city on the hill. I agree with Mayo from Officer and a Gentleman. There is nowhere else to go. And I agree with that random sign guy on social media. There is no place to escape for freedom. This is it. That's why it's so important that we take the stands, speak up, go to the meetings, run for office, find the best candidates, build the best school systems, actually enforce the laws, and at every turn, make sure that we always make those decisions on the basis of liberty. Because this is it. There's nowhere else to go. This is our house. Defend it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Move us to the break, Butters. We're going to take the break right now. Coming back right after the break, we're going to talk to U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, get his perspective on a few things. In the meantime, remotely from Tuscaloosa, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
I thought it was 100.
100, yeah.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, broadcasting remotely from the beautiful city of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, here for the GOP primary debates this evening. Listen, we're going to go right to the phones. I don't want to waste any time at all. I'm proud to have U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in just for maybe 5 minutes here. Coach, you on the line with us?
You got me.
Hey, well, I appreciate you making time. Your comms staff is wonderful, and they said that, you know, it might be great to have just a few minutes of follow-up with you after the announcement you made yesterday. So, Coach, we got about 5 minutes. Give us a spin here. What's going on?
Well, first of all, we fought hard for our military and for the unborn. You know, that's what this was all about. You know, I'm the executive overreach, the Pentagon and the White House. You know, they just started making laws themselves, and we fought back against that. We tried to get negotiations. That was my number one objective, to get them to negotiate the taxpayer-funded abortion policy that they just pushed through in the military. And so I could not get any time for negotiation with the president, Pentagon, or Chuck Schumer. They just could care less. And then we tried to get it. Our next option was to start a lawsuit, which hopefully that will happen. Third was to get it in the budget to change it back in the military, and that happens this week. The problem is we didn't even get to vote on it because Chuck Schumer saw that it was in the budget. He pulled it out, which you can't do. He broke the law. He just said, we're not going to vote on that. We're not going to have that in the budget for this year. And so when that happened, it was game, set, match. So we went ahead and released most of the promotions and starting another game plan. We're not giving up on this. The American people deserve the right to go by the Constitution, and the Democrat Socialist Party is really, really trying to change our country, and they're doing a pretty good job of it in terms of just running everything that we have built, our forefathers have built, and just trying to run it in the ground.
Well, and I completely agree with that. I mean, the reality is, there are rules of the Senate, and the decorum and the good, you know, order and discipline of the Senate still has to be followed. I mean, that's the reason why you were able to be successful, is because you actually recognized there was a rule you could put in play for almost a year. And you're telling us right now that Schumer basically decided to strip certain things out of the NDAA from the House on his own?
Exactly. That's what he did right up to the last minute. You know, we had an opportunity, and I had the votes. I'd already gone around to the Democrats. I had Democrat votes. It was going to be put into the budget. He saw that I had the votes. He wasn't going to allow that win. And so instead of doing it the right way and going through proper channels, he broke protocol and said, hey, it's our way. We won the election. We're going to do it our way. So that's the reason this election, Phil, is so important coming up in this next year. We have got to take this dictatorship away from Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer and the Democratic Party, because what they're doing to pro-life, what they're doing to the military, what they're doing at the border, our foreign relations, crime, our economy is just, it's a disaster.
Well, Coach, I'm going to tell you again that I appreciate the stance you made. I mean, I got enough time in the military, and I've got generations of my family in the military to where I know for a fact that readiness was not at all impacted by what you did. In fact, if anything, readiness is impacted by the way that the Biden administration is using the military. But yeah. I mean, they're out there crowing right now, and you would expect that. They're crowing, saying they beat you, that they finally got you to back down, that they got you to walk away. With about 30 seconds, you got any final comments here you want to add to that?
Well, they shouldn't crow too much, because we can start this thing all over again. But we're going to fight back. But we're going to get President Trump elected president, and we're not going to have to fight. He'll do it on day one. He'll get this abortion policy illegal and out of the military. Start building our military back to where a fighting machine that we can protect the American people and close our border. We have to close our border. We are in war right now with the people coming in this country, all this immigration.
Well, listen, Senator, we're pretty much out of time. It was a short opportunity for you to be able to call in, but we'll get you back on for an extended conversation. In the meantime, you're welcome on Right Side. We appreciate what you've done.
Thank you, Phil. God bless.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, listen, I mean, that's the thing. There was no readiness issue here. Were there people that deserved a promotion, perhaps? Yes, and they're going to get it, and they're going to be backdated. I guarantee you the Senate's going to wind up backdating their confirmations and allowing them to have, you know, pay and benefits, and everything's going to be in place. And, oh, by the way, was there a single military unit that didn't have somebody in charge? No. But the thing you need to have probably picked up more than anything in that conversation, maybe two things. He said, we can do it again if we have to. And he also said, Schumer changed the rules in violation of the good order and protocols of the Senate. And that's got to stop. That's got to stop now. Coming up next after the break, Becky Gerritsen from the Eagle Forum calling in. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams in Tuscaloosa. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. And y'all, I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Well, so speaking of Tuscaloosa, that is where I am right now. So tonight, the GOP is having its fourth presidential primary debate. Only four people made the stage now, so the field has been winnowed down a bit. So if you're not familiar, yeah, coming up tonight, you got Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Chris Christie on the stage this evening in Tuscaloosa. I'll be in the spin room. And getting a chance to sort of watch things firsthand, take notes, and I'll tell you about my experiences tomorrow. In the meantime, just know this, and Butters, I'm seeing something. Yeah, we're good. All right, let me do this. I'm going to go straight to the phones right now, not waste any time at all. Good friend Becky Gerritsen, who I first met back in the days when she was with the Wetumpka Tea Party. She is the executive director for the Eagle Forum of Alabama. And I thought I'd just get some thoughts for her from her on Tuberville. So, Becky Gerritsen, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. I listened to Senator Tuberville just a few minutes ago, and we have been just very supportive of his stand against the unanimous consent. And so I'm glad that you had him on, and I'm happy to talk about this.
Well, so let me ask you right out the gate. I mean, I've worked with the Policy Institute. You work with Eagle Forum. You and I, you were a leader in the Tea Party movement. I was a Tea Party endorsed, you know, candidate for office. All this stuff in our background, these organizations we've been a part of. How do you feel about the fact that he has stepped back from his hold, and sort of relinquished his hold on pretty much all but four stars? What are your thoughts on the fact that he's stepped back from it?
Well, I wish he wouldn't have had to. You know, I really feel like he was put in that position, but from the get-go, this was all about our Constitution. This was about the abortion policy was illegal. They shouldn't have been doing it. And he did the right thing for objecting to unanimous consent on these. But like he said, this fight is not over. And I don't know all the ins and outs of how this is going to play out. I believe it was important that, as we saw, as time went on, people were able to vet some of these military leaders, and some of them are deeply bought into the woke ideology. That is what undermines our whole military and the readiness. It's not this abortion policy. And I wish we could have looked at them one by one. I think that would have been the better thing to do. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see how it plays out. I think the Democrats threatening to change the rule was horrible. It just shows how bought in they are to killing babies.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I look at it too and think, all right, if you're allowed to just change the rules, then why do we have rules? I mean, there's a reason. One of the things that really struck me in the state legislature was the decorum with, there were times when there was not a lot of decorum on the floor of the Senate, but there were also times when it truly was. And if you didn't do it a certain way, it wasn't allowed to happen. And if you didn't say it a certain way, it didn't get said. And, you know, you could actually try to speak and it was not your turn to speak. I mean, there's a lot of, the rules are in place. And I remember when I was a brand new freshman senator, somebody told me, they handed me the actual rules book of the Senate. And they said, if you'll memorize these rules, you can do a lot. And I hate to say it, but one of the masters at doing that was a guy named Roger Bedford, who was a Democrat. Mm. He knew the rules backwards and forwards, and he also knew, though, how to put them to use for what he wanted to do. Well, if you can just change the rules willy-nilly, then all that means is there's no sense in even having rules.
Well, and I think we've even seen that with the dress code, Senate, that rules have just kind of gone by the wayside, I think. Before we jump off, and I just want people to know, if they want to see our National Eagle Forum president put out a statement yesterday, and we have been working closely with Tuberville's office throughout this whole process, I mean, talking to them almost every day on, you know, what can we do, and we are supportive and, you know, just trying to have his back. But we posted something on alabamaeagle.org on our blog. You will see the statement that our national president said about this whole deal, and I think it's important. But anyway, back to what you were saying.
Well, I think there's other things, too, that Tuberville said in his brief time with us a few minutes ago, and we actually had him scheduled for a longer segment, but his schedule up in D.C. Got gerrymandered. But anyway, one of the things he also said was, there is legal action that is being prepared right now, which I think is wise, because what that basically means is that there's someone who is willing to take it to the court system and deal with the fact that you've got a sort of a rogue element within the DOD, or at the very least the Biden administration directing traffic this way, that says, go and do these things, even though we have federal law that prevents that from happening, or supposed to. And then the other side of it is, he said, and truthfully, if we have to, we can start this process all over again. He can put his hold back in place tomorrow if he wanted to.
Yeah, that really surprised me that he said that, and that was kind of good news to my ears. Phil, one of the things that a lot of people are bringing up, and they're really being misled by the media, is this whole readiness factor. I had someone write back on something I sent out yesterday, and they said, you know, this is really hindering military readiness. But I want to just reiterate what the Biden administration has said. First of all, that no job has gone unfulfilled. This did not hinder our readiness. Every job was being done. And General Milley even said that the readiness has been the best it's been in years. So this, if people are upset with him because they thought that it was hurting readiness, it wasn't. That was just a talking point from the media to get everyone upset about this. This really was about the illegal abortion policy being pushed by the military. And
well,
do I
remember correctly too, Becky? Aren't y'all a military family?
Yes, retired military, Air Force. Yes.
That's what I thought.
So this is important. This is close to home, and my husband still works with the military every day. You know, this is very important to me, and as a patriotic American, I think it's important to many people who aren't in the military. This is a big deal. But this thing that he was doing was not leaving jobs undone. There wasn't a lack of leadership. They were still in those positions. So just put that argument to bed.
Yeah, well, and they won't. I mean, the reality is they're going to do what they can to beat him up. They're going to try and make him out to be some rube from Alabama who doesn't understand the big picture, some kind of pariah who doesn't believe that women should have, you know, what do they call it, healthcare decision-making authorities or whatever they want to say. And so it's going to wind up, this is unfortunately where we sit on this, is it's going to wind up being a he said, they said, and there's no way around it. The thing that people need to remember, though, is that with a few exceptions who were defecting at the end, like Senator Joni Ernst and a couple others, the vast majority of the Republican caucus actually stood with Tuberville on this.
They just weren't as vocal as I would have liked them to be, especially those, you know, who say that they're pro-life. That was very disappointing to me, that they were not so often during this. And this fight lasted, you know, 10 or 11 months. This has been going on a long time. You know, not necessarily the hold themselves, but this whole issue, the policy came out, I want to say, in February, and there weren't a lot of Republicans pushing back like Tuberville did.
There weren't, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, the reality is, I think that this is one of those situations where you had a whole bunch of people behind closed doors going, attaboy, Tommy, thanks for taking the stand for us and not saying a lot in public. And then at the same time, you did have others who were willing to say, yeah, we're not gonna vote to override that. We join him in what he's doing. But at the end, he still was a man who stood by himself. And I've told people on my show multiple times that it is still possible for one man to make a difference in D.C. if you get the right moment. And it's like a Mr. Smith goes to Washington thing. You can actually get up there if you know the rules and if you have the issues and if you have the principles you stand on, you can actually do something and make a dent even as one person.
Yeah. And the one man who did not make a positive change was Chuck Schumer. He had the ability and the responsibility, I believe, to bring these nominations up one at a time. And he should have done that. He did not do that with the Senate meeting like 3 days a week. They could have done this. They could have bypassed all of this if it was really important to him. But as one man, he showed that it was not important. Instead, blamed it on somebody else.
Well, yeah, there it is. Well, listen, Becky, by the way, I'm going to change subject on you with about a minute and a half left. I don't know if you saw it or not. This is a total change of subject, but we just got breaking news about an hour ago that Kevin McCarthy, most recently Speaker of the House, has announced that he is resigning from Congress effective the end of this calendar year. I don't know if you've seen that or not yet.
I have not seen that. No, I've been working on something else with my head buried in my computer and did not see that. Thank you for letting me know, but wow.
Yeah. Yeah, brand spanking new information. And what that means is that our Republican majority in the House is about to get a lot slimmer as they're going to have one less vote until this. And it's a pretty decidedly Republican district where he comes from in California, but it's nonetheless, it's going to be an empty seat for a period of time.
Did he say why?
Not really. My something about the way he announced that he was, you know, intent upon going and finding the best possible people to, you know, to fill the halls of Congress for conservative values made me think that what he's about to go do is be a serious fundraiser / recruiter. But I just hope he's not going to go try and recruit, you know, the anti-conservatives. Get a whole bunch of squishy moderates. Anyway, he is officially retiring.
Thanks for that breaking news. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. Thanks.
All right, my friend Becky Garrettson, if they want to know more about you and Eagle Forum, tell them where they can find you.
AlabamaEagle.org. And we have a big policy conference coming up on January 12th in Birmingham. So if you go to AlabamaEagle.org, you will see all about it. And we would love to have you guys come because we're going to be talking about some of the big bills we're going to be pushing this year. When the legislative session begins in February. So you'll get all the talking points. You'll know why these bills are so important and why you need to get behind them or why you need to kill them. Some of the bills we're going to be talking about are ones that need to die. So
all right,
thank you so much, Phil. It's great talking to you.
You too. Appreciate the work y'all do. That's Becky Garrettson with the Alabama Eagle Forum. Glad to always have her on the show. All right, Butters, take us to a break, brother. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back and start moving this whole situation forward. May have some walk-ins. I've already had Dale Jackson just poke his head in the door and hang out for a minute. But yeah, y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams broadcasting live from Tuscaloosa. We will be right back.